Welcome back to Sora Financially. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Deutsche Goldmesse. My name is Kai Hoffman. I'm the @JR Mining Guy on Twitter and the CEO of the Sora Financial Group. And I'm really excited to present to you now the premier of the Yukon, Premier Pile. Really excited for you to join us here in Frankfurt. Thanks for coming. Thanks for making the trip.
Kai, what a great event. It's fantastic. You've invited us before. We finally had a chance to come and spend time with you. So well organized. So many great conversations happening here, and just really pleased that we made time to come over and chat with you and share the Yukon story here in Frankfurt.
Yeah, no, fantastic. We have four companies presenting from the Yukon as well. And a bit of an intro question to sort of lay the ground a bit is, like, how important is mining to the Yukon?
Well, look, it's been 125 years since the Yukon's been a territory. We celebrated that in this year, 2023, but in June of this year. And it has been the biggest driver in our private sector, part of our economy, for the last 125 years. And the way things look now with focus on critical minerals, continuing to see really exciting gold projects happen, I think we're going to continue to see this trend. So it's extremely important for Yukoners and for our economy.
What did the mining industry mean during COVID? Because I think that was really impactful.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big lesson for us. I mean, what we learned was that the gold mining sector was our insurance policy. We saw 2020, 10% growth in our GDP, 2021, 8.5% growth. So as economies across the world were collapsing or retracting, ours was growing. And it was because of the gold sector. And so for us, you know, we're lucky. Not every jurisdiction has that economic insurance policy. I mean, people have different views about, moving towards or pivoting towards gold. But look, we see some instability across the world right now, and we see some really strong gold prices. So for us, we're going to continue to invest in the things that ensure that we have a strong gold sector. And of course, we're going to continue to look at where the world's going, and that's around critical minerals.
But let's break that down a bit. You said you're investing in gold or in the mining industry.
Yeah.
Let's break that down. What does that mean? What are you doing to sort of facilitate a better mining environment in the Yukon?
Okay. Well, I think the first thing we're doing is we made a commitment decades ago, the Yukon government did to First Nation governments, that we would modernize the mining legislation in the Yukon, and we would do it in partnership with a policy architecture would be shared between First Nations and the Yukon government. And that's being done right now. So we want to modernize our legislation. We want to reduce red tape. We want to have more consistency, and we want to do it hand in hand with First Nation government. So that's work that's underway right now. The second thing that's really important, I think, for investors as well as companies that are looking to locate in the Yukon or partner or acquire, is where we're going on infrastructure. So this is the most extensive infrastructure investment we've ever seen happening right now. I could share a little bit,
Please.
Yeah, we have a program right now that's worth about $500 million between public and private partnership when it comes to roads. So we're prioritizing a series of road creation and infrastructure upgrade, depending on, where we see mining projects in the cycle. So that's a key driver. We have an airport that's an international airport. In the summertime, you actually can fly. I mean, if it was the summer, I could have flown from Whitehorse to Frankfurt. We're putting about $250 million into our airport right now. So that's another very significant investment. We have a port project that we're looking at in Skagway, Alaska. So it's complex. We're helping build a port in another country over the mountains outside of the Yukon. Then evening just before I left, so Thursday night, Yukon time, around 5:30, we passed a supplementary budget, which had just over $21 million from the first part of that project being allocated. So that's a really important item for any critical minerals project, making sure that we have access to tidewater for the next 50 years through the U.S. We're also on the back end of just completing a fiber project. So any modern major mining company wants to see their ability to digitize their activities. And we're almost completed an 800-kilometer fiber line, really complex. 1,100 water crossings. We had to do directional drilling under the Mackenzie Delta. That project should be done in 2024. It's about a $100 million project. And then, of course, the really what's exciting people right now is we're embarking on a the first phase of work on a grid connection between the Yukon and British Columbia.
Fantastic projects. Like, I was in the Yukon this summer, and internet speed in Dawson was a topic.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a big topic.
It is.
Like, when
it
you invite a lot of social media influencers and there's no bandwidth to upload or download anything, it's a problem. And the mining companies have massive databases they need to move around.
Exactly. So that's why it was important to do that, you know, that fiber project. It was, we needed to have another, you know, another pipe coming out. But it's also about Arctic security. Yeah. If you look at, you know, all the infrastructure that we're putting in place now, the majority of this infrastructure will help the resource sector. But it's also extremely important for Arctic security. And we look at some of the other European nations or Asian nations that are investing in the Arctic, and Canada has to keep up. And so we call this dual purpose infrastructure. It's infrastructure that can be used to help the mining sector. Actually, it's even, you know, of course, at the end of the day, it's going to help improve the lives of Yukoners, but also it's going to be really important for Arctic security as well.
So one question, just to follow up on what's been said earlier in terms of like how important is mining to the Yukon.
Sure.
The question is now, how important will it be moving forward as well?
Yeah.
And the question is like, how much growth in mining can the Yukon take or want as well?
Look, I think it's a, that question, you know, it's probably different for every Yukoner, right? I mean, you know, you get in, you're in a jurisdiction like ours where you have extremely strong service sector, whether it comes in and government supports, whether it comes to healthcare, education, comparably to other parts of North America. And so when you think about that, of course, growth puts more pressure on any system. Right now, we're trying to catch up on housing because we've led population growth across Canada. That's really been driven by a strong economy, and that's been driven by the mining sector. So, you know, it'll be important for us to continue to ensure that services, specifically housing, education, and healthcare, keep up with growth. And I think that, you know, that's what Yukoners want to see. They want to make sure that the mining sector leads to opportunity, not to a reduction in service. So really the obligation comes to the government to continue to do that work. What I've found it when it comes to the mining sector is that, you know, there's, we have a number of projects that are being looked at in the Yukon right now. They usually don't all happen at once. You know, companies want to see them progress as quick as they can, but in the end, it's usually spread out over time. So it's really important to understand where you need to be in 5 years, where you need to be in 10 years. And, you know, we've done a really important work when it comes to healthcare. We did a program called Putting People First. It's a strategy for the modernization of healthcare. It's being driven by Yukoners. When it comes to climate change, we put a program together and a strategy called Air Clean Future. We have our, again, when we look at impacts to our communities, we want to ensure we have MMIWG 2S Plus, which really is focused on making sure that some of the most vulnerable people in our community benefit from resource extraction in the industry. And that we've learned from, you know, challenges across North America in the past. So we've done the work to get us to where we need to go. And it's just important that we continue to implement.
You said it's like all the projects don't happen at once. And I do agree. So they, over a 10-year time, I can actually see five mines potentially come into production in the Yukon. And that's without the private ones.
Sure.
You have a big major companies like Rio Tinto in the territory.
Yeah.
B2 Gold just invested. Newmont is at the coffee project.
Yeah.
Snowline is at B2 Gold, sorry.
Yeah.
But you also have Fireweed Zinc, for example, with Teck and the Lundin family in there.
Yeah.
Those are projects that could come online the next 10 years.
Absolutely.
When the big major companies come, like what are they looking for in the conversation? Because I know they interact with the government quite regularly.
Yeah.
What is it they're looking for?
You know, a company like Rio Tinto, when they are at the table with us, are talking about ports, power, and people. You know, that's the elements they want to see. Where are you going to get a labor force from that can support the project? How are you going to power it? Of course, they're looking for clean energy sources. And then, of course, they need to be able to get it out to tidewater. When you're looking at a commodity play, like a big copper project like that. But they also want to understand that the regulatory environment is modern. They want to make sure that the relationship with First Nations governments is respectful. They want to make sure that First Nation governments are at the table. These are very modern, progressive companies. And you know, we think that that's what the Yukon has to offer. We look at economic reconciliation like no other province, state, or territory in North America. It's a big priority for us to make sure that our communities benefit from this activity. So it's a sophisticated conversation around planning and your commitment as a territory. And I mean, we think we're really well positioned. You know, like I've always said, there's parts of North America, there's major cities and states and provinces that go out and seek tech investment. You know, we have a budding tech sector and an innovation sector, and we support that. But we also have billions of dollars of opportunity when it comes to mining. So some companies want to go out, or cities or provinces want to go out and get a Google campus. I want to see 2 or 3 major mining projects. That's what we do well, and we want to continue to search out those opportunities that are really, really, really substantial for the Yukon and for Canada, really.
Talking about that is perfect. Like, follow-up question to that as well. You were recently in India and Japan as well. And to bring back the conversation, also to critical minerals, you mentioned a couple of times earlier.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, what was the point of the trip to India? What were you looking for? What are you trying to sort of foster?
Well, I mean, look, we were in Japan that was two-part. I mean, it was really about, we have a lot of engagement around tourism from Japan to the Yukon, but also it was about a number of major mining companies in Japan, some that have, like Mitsubishi, that have investment already in the Yukon, and others that are looking, Doha we met with as well, that are looking to invest in the Yukon. They have a lot of smelter infrastructure, these companies, and they're looking for commodities to feed it. And with the global shift in places like Indonesia and the posture of China, they have to go out there and aggressively look for new partners. Yeah. And so it was great. And they know a lot about the Yukon, and they're really interested. And we had, Jogmed and joined two of the big organizations in Japan, even had representation last week in the Yukon at our big mining conference. India, different conversation. It was really, for us, we were there for twofold. It was recruitment for the healthcare sector, but at the same time, we did meet with the mines minister, and it was really interesting to be that far around the world, and the initial conversation for them to intimately know about opportunities and projects in the Yukon, which leads me to think, that we have some really world-class deposits, world-class opportunities, and the world's become very small. And when it comes to critical minerals, people are jockeying to get those partnerships in place. And, we're seeing it every day. I mean, I meet with diplomats from around the world, either ambassadors, consul generals, high commissioners, and the first or second conversation at these days is really about critical minerals.
Perfect follow-up question again to that as well, because the U.S. Has been giving out grants also to Canadian projects and companies. In that regard, is there a conversation happening even on the government level? Because I think I know tungsten, for example, is extremely critical, thinking about fireweed projects again. But the U.S. needs to secure access to that. So is there a conversation between the governments as well?
Yeah, I think, there's a process where I think there's a very basic application that's happening from the companies to the U.S. government. I know that our Senator Duncan was on Capitol Hill last week. I had some discussion with her. She was making sure that lawmakers and leaders in the U.S. know about the opportunities in the Yukon. And from my standpoint, I meet with the ambassador from the U.S. to Canada and consul general in Vancouver, and we're consistently following up. So in the sense of fireweed, they've, been in a dialogue we're supporting, and just sort of letting folks know about the team at Fireweed, how good they are, what that project looks like, and how important it is. I mean, this is really about the security of North America and our, European allies. When it comes to tungsten, we have a couple of countries in the world that really control that sector, and I wouldn't say they're allies. So at this particular time, it's really important that we identify these sources and that we secure them, and we figure out ways to value add and to bring them to market.
Fantastic. Premier, thank you so much for coming out. A fantastic conversation. Thanks for promoting the Yukon. I have to admit, it's one of my favorite jurisdictions. So, and that this is happening as well just shows why it's one of my favorite jurisdictions. Because I have to admit, I don't know the mines minister in BC or even the premier. So let's not take it that far, but it's fantastic.
Sure.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for showing support.
Thank you.
And to just supporting the mining sector as well. I think it's hugely beneficial.
Great to be here. And for anybody watching, you know what? You better get on Kai's list to try to get your invite to Frankfurt. Thanks again.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you found this conversation insightful. I sure did. And make sure to hit that subscribe button. We'll be back with lots more from Frankfurt. Thanks so much for joining us.